May the Lord help us to commence our service with hymn 993. O Zion, afflicted with wave upon wave, whom no man can comfort, whom no man can save, with darkness surrounded, by terrors dismayed, in toiling and rowing, thy strength is decayed. Hymn 993.
Thank you.
Our reading from God's holy word is from the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Chapter 12 in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words? Which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us and help Benji to pray.
We do pray that thou wilt grant us now that true reverence and godly fear, O Lord, that we might come unto thee seeking true repentance. For, O Lord, we come unto thee, poor, wretched, undone sinners, Lord, so full of unbelief and feeling ourselves so far off from thee, with such a cold, hard heart, yet, Lord, we come unto thee seeking mercy. Oh, that thou wilt come over our poverty, our wretchedness, and grant us that faith to come unto thee. For thou and thou alone canst forgive us our sins, and thou canst prepare us, Lord, to meet thee. Oh, Lord, do remember us then for good, and help us, Lord, to truly worship thee this night. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner, is our cry. Oh, that we might truly find thy forgiveness, our interest in thy work, O Lord, and to know that thy blood was shed for me. Oh, that thou hast washed away our sins, and prepared us for a never-ending eternity. O Lord, do help us then to truly consider our latter end and to come unto thee and consider what thou hast done. O Lord, do make us sincere in these things. O leave us not to a form of words. For, Lord, we have heard these things all our life, But, O Lord, how we need thee to apply them with power to our souls, to quicken us, Lord, into life, and to draw us unto thee. Oh, that we might truly know thy love in our hearts. Oh, that thou hast loved us, Lord, and that we then might love thee for what thou hast done, that way which thou hast made to draw us to thee, that one thing needful. Oh, may we truly be enabled to realize that that is the one thing needful. For, O Lord, thou knowest how we seem so taken up with so many things of time, how they crowd around, and, Lord, oftentimes crowd out thee. But, oh, we would see Jesus. For, Lord, thou art our salvation. Thou art our only hope. Oh, that we might know it, that we might feel it, and that we might look to thee. O Lord, do then help us each to keep the things of time in their right place. But Lord, we fully realize we need thee to help us even in these things, that thou wilt guide and direct our steps aright, and that thou wilt use these things to teach us our dependence upon thee. For we can do nothing of ourselves. Lord, it must all come from thee and thee alone. We do pray then that thou wilt remember each one here in this house of prayer this night. O Lord, may it truly be that house of prayer, that we might bring our needs unto thee and to cast them upon thee, seeking thy mercy. O Lord, thou knowest each one's needs, those needs for time, O Lord, and those needs for a never-ending eternity. O, do help us then to look to thee, to trust thee. O, that thou wilt come and increase our faith and enable each one of us, from the oldest down to the youngest, to cast their burdens upon thee. O Lord, for we do read that we should come and ask thee. And Lord, we read that if we had that grain of faith, Lord, believing that we should receive them. But oh, how far off we feel to be, how far we feel to come short of such things. But oh, we do pray then that thou wilt remember us in mercy, and that thou wilt come to us. Oh, that thy presence might be known here in thy house this night. Lord, we have not the presence of one of thy servants. Thou hast seen fit to lay thy afflicting hand upon him once more. And Lord, but we do pray that thou wilt be with him where he is, that thou wilt hold him up, and that thou wilt enable him to trust in thee and find that true comfort. And Lord, we do pray if we're without one of thy servants, we may not be without the presence of thy Holy Spirit, that which alone can make thy word life and light to our souls. Oh, do apply thy word. Oh Lord, those things that we read, those things that we sing, Lord, and those things which were preached in days past. O Lord, bring them to life once more and cause them to work effectually in the hearts and souls of thy people. Lord, that there might be those words of help, those words of direction, those words of conviction, reproof, if needs be. Oh, that we might have that submission to thy will. Oh, Lord, we do know how we each desire to have our own way. But, oh, Lord, to be able to submit unto thee, or even as we heard this morning. Oh, Lord, do help us each then to come humbly unto thee with that truly contrite spirit. O Lord, we do pray then that thou remember thy servants as they come week by week. O Lord, that thou wilt give each one that word to bring, that they might truly be thy messengers in thy message, that there might be that which supplies our need week by week. O Lord, and we do pray that thou wilt raise up others. O Lord, that there might be others raised up to preach that glorious gospel, a precious Jesus. O Lord, thou canst do it. And we remember each of thy servants in affliction at this time. Our Lord, there seems many. We do pray then that thou wilt grant thy healing mercies where it can be thy will, that thou wilt truly sanctify these things and raise them up once more. O Lord, nothing is impossible with thee. O, do help us to plead it. Help us to truly cast it upon thee and to seek thy help and thy mercy. And Lord, we remember each one here. We remember those, Lord, treading in new paths. We do pray that thou wilt go with them, that thou wilt be their helper, and that thou wilt grant that they might truly find thee wherever thou dost place them. Help them each and enable them to keep their eyes up unto thee. We do desire to remember our nation before thee. O Lord, we would come with that true confession, for thou knowest the wickedness, the evil that surrounds us, that abounds in this age and grows worse and worse. Lord, have mercy upon us, if it can be thy will. In wrath remember mercy. O Lord, do turn us again. Do plant thy fear in the hearts of those our rulers. O Lord, that there might be those that truly fear thy name and bring all the difficulties and trials at this time unto thee to seek to know what thou wilt say. O Lord, thou knowest these things seem so far off, yet thou canst do it. O, do enable us each to truly, fervently seek thee for it. O Lord, do then remember that remnant that is still in the land. O, do go before us now. O Lord, do help our brother in reading that sermon preached in past years. O, that thou wilt cause it once more to be suitable to each case here this night. O, that we might do all then to thy praise, to thy honour, and to thy glory. Help us to truly worship thee. Remember us now. Forgive us each all our sins, for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 909. Why, drooping saint, dismayed? Does sorrow press thee down? Has God refused to give thee aid, or does he seem to frown? Hymn number 909.
Thank you.
I will try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. John Green. You will find the words of the text in Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 11. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. God, in his infinite wisdom and love, did foresee what all his people would need during their sojourn here on earth. And in that wonderful covenant, ordered in all things and sure, he made that rich provision for his church. Amongst the various things that are revealed to us as being provided by God for the good of his people is his chastening. Our text makes it very clear that when the Lord lays upon one of his people his chastening rod, it does not seem to be joyous, but grievous, hard to bear, hard to our poor nature. We cannot perceive the reason for it. Yes, sometimes it seems that the things by which the Lord chastens us will prove that we have neither part nor lot in the great matter of salvation. We sometimes feel that if the Lord loved us, he certainly would not deal with us as he does. Satan comes into our hearts, stirs up our unbelief, and we feel within such a spirit of rebellion that we have sometimes said of our Maker's dealings that they are neither just nor wise. Very solemn and very painful for God's dear people it is when the chastening hand of their God is upon them. It is not always that we can feel, that we can trace the Lord's chastening as a privilege. It needs much grace to approve the chastening hand of the Lord. Now the apostle writing to these Hebrews speaks thus from experience. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, painful, trying to our poor nature. The Lord seems so often to hide from us the purpose he has in view. We cannot behold the end of the trial. We cannot see what good may come out of it. If we could, it would not be so heavy or so grievous to us as it is. If we could view the end that God has designed, we should certainly approve of the means the Lord uses to chasten us. After all, my friends, it is a very solemn thing to be without sanctified chastening. The ungodly have their troubles, sometimes great troubles, naturally speaking, greater than some of God's people have. But these things are never sanctified to them. They never do them any spiritual good. This should be a solemn question to us. Have our chastenings done us any good? Have we always gone into trouble and come out of trouble the same? Never humbled. Never broken down before the Lord. If so, we have no real mark, no real evidence of being a child of God. This has searched and tried some of God's people to the very quick. Oh, how they pleaded with the Lord that their cares, their sorrows, their losses, their crosses might be truly sanctified to them. Now the Lord often sends his people his chastening in answer to their prayers, that in this way he might accomplish what he has designed for their good. Some of you, I believe, pray that the Lord may, in his rich mercy, subdue your pride. But some of you are not tried about it. No, it pleases you, though we have nothing really to be proud of. Yet to a child of God, pride is a terrible thing. They feel it day by day. They pray against it. And the Lord may send some very solemn things into one's life, that he may answer their prayer and subdue that pride they feel within. It is something the Lord's people have to pray against day by day. And if the Lord did not correct us, did not chasten us, did not subdue our pride, it would be the ruin of our souls. We should go on and on, proudly independent of the Lord. But you see, he pulls his dear people up. He sends things into their lives, into their pathway, which they cannot manage. Things may sometimes seem to go so contrary to their expectations. Things in their lives may be so overturned, their projects so crossed, that they are brought to their wits' end. They know not what to do. By these means, the Lord spiritually humbles them, lays them low before him, brings them to his dear feet. It is a wonderful blessing if the Lord has chastened you, humbled you, mould your cursed pride. Then again we have a worldly spirit. We have a worldly heart. And a child of God left to his own heart, whilst he may not go right out into the world, into the pleasures of the world, he will try to drive his little bark as near to the world as he can. He will try and have as much of the world as is possible. He will say by way of excuse, there is no harm in this, no harm in that. It is harmless pleasure, harmless mirth. Very sad when it is so with us. But the Lord will chasten us for these things. He will show us the vanity of all things under the sun. He did to the poet who said, how vain are all things here below, how false and yet how fair. Each pleasure has its poison too, and every sweet a snare. Now we do not come by this knowledge easily. We are not separated from the world easily, my friends. No, the Lord may have to send us very severe chastisement. We may have to walk through the fire that we may have our dross consumed, that we may, through God's grace, have our gold refined. I was reading last evening of Enoch that for 300 years he walked with God. What a wonderful testimony. And at last we read, and he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In the midst of much ungodliness, ungodly companions, that dear man walked with his God. And so with us, I believe the Holy Ghost will make these things attractive to us, and by consuming our dross, showing us the emptiness of the world and the things here below, we shall desire a closer walk with God. We shall pray that the Lord will separate us in our heart and in practice from this poor, vain world. Now, if you feel that the spirit and things of the world are prevailing in you, and you see the danger of it, oh, how you will pray that the Lord will mercifully and graciously preserve you. He may send some affliction, some cross. He may lay you aside, and by these things graciously separate you, not only in body but in soul, from this poor world. But for the time being, the affliction may be very grievous. You may not perceive love inscribed upon it. You may even feel that the Lord is dealing with you as he dealt with Cain for his sins. You may be overwhelmed with trouble and distress, feeling the Lord is not with you as you would desire. The Lord often seems to withhold his blessing when he lays his chastening hand upon us. He withholds his presence, and we cannot find him. We cannot enjoy communion and fellowship with him. Prayer seems such a task. It seems almost impossible to pray, and Satan seems to gain such advantage over us that we have to say of the Lord's chastening that for the present it is grievous, hard to bear, so trying to our poor souls. Then again, the Lord's people are prone to idolatry. You can see it in God's people. They set up their idols and they worship them. Some of us, I believe, have painfully observed in past days how subtle are our hearts, and what a clever foe Satan is. And before we have been hardly aware, we have made idols of various things, and we feel we have no stones to throw against Israel of old. The Lord comes, and he touches our idol. And the moment he touches it, we realize what it was to us. Not in a gracious way, but all that it was to us in our poor fleshly hearts. How it filled us with pride, with self-satisfaction. But the Lord touches our idols, and that will be very grievous to our poor nature. We may grow sadly rebellious. We may even fight, as it were, against the Lord in these things. But from all your idols will I cleanse you, saith the Lord. Now this is always grievous to a child of God. He or she will not part with their idols easily. They are too much in their esteem for this. They are so much of their life that they would keep them if they could. But the Lord does not consult them. He is a taking God as well as a giving God. And he has taken some of our idols from us, perhaps, and it has been very grievous. I was pondering in the night a little of one's own pathway and some of the things for which the Lord has chastened me. Oh, how my heart has sometimes risen up in enmity and hatred against God on account of these things. They have been displeasing to my poor fallen nature. Now no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. But then the Lord will not leave us in this solemn state and condition. I was reading the other day a letter written by a dear friend whom I laid in the grave last Friday, and he said in this letter to me, there must be an afterwards in the experience of God's people. There must be. There will be an afterwards in the experience of all God's people. However much the Lord may chasten you, whatever he may lay upon you, whatever he may take from you, there will be an afterwards. And when that afterwards comes, you will know with sweet submission the goodness, the mercy, the love, the kindness of your God in these trials and in these difficulties through which he has caused you to pass. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. So, poor sinner, you may have come to the Lord's house very cast down, very dejected. You feel you are under the Lord's chastening rod. You say, I am under a cloud. I have displeased the Lord. I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. It is a wonderful thing to feel a little sweet submission to God's will, even though you may be under a cloud. Although you may feel things are exceedingly trying and difficult. You may even feel, as one of our friends, I believe, said in his prayer, that we bring a good many things upon our own heads through our carelessness, through our iniquity, through our lack of obedience to the word of God. You feel that you have merited the chastening that God is meting out to you. Now that shows a wonderfully gracious frame. There will certainly be an afterwards for you, my dear friend, when the Lord has caused the fire to do its work, when the cross he has laid upon you has had the effect of purging you. There will be a blessed afterwards in the experiences of the Lord's dear people. Now what a mercy it is that the Lord does sometimes chasten us, that he does sometimes correct us, that he does not let us go on and on as our poor fallen hearts would like to do. You may sometimes observe wonderful love, wonderful care on the Lord's part towards you in thus so lovingly correcting you and bringing you forth from self, sin, your idols, and from the world, that you might seek and find eternal happiness in the Lord alone. Our text says, nevertheless afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The important clause in our text is to be exercised thereby, to be graciously exercised, and to be graciously exercised under God's chastening rod is to be enabled to pray that you may not merely just get out of trouble, but that the Lord may so sanctify it to you that you may come out of it bettered by the cross, separated in heart and practice from the world and from your idols. And after all, if the Lord did not chasten us, there would be very little prayer. Not that chastisement produces prayer, it does not. It is the blessed Holy Spirit in the midst of the trials and difficulties who produces prayer in the hearts of the Lord's people. Some of you know only too painfully, too bitterly, that when a cross has lain heavily upon you, there has been no prayer. No real prayer. You may have said, I will have no more to do with religion. If this is the God that his people serve, I want no more to do with him. Ah, friends, it is very solemn, very painful indeed, when a poor sinner feels thus hardened through God's chastening. But on the other hand, they are so full of self-pity that they come to this conclusion. No poor sinner ever had such trouble as I have had, never had such a bitter cup as I feel to have. I am hard done by. Oh, friends, the Lord will bring you forth from these things. He will show you that you have merited 1,000 times more chastening than you have received, and he will bring you afterwards to submit to his will. Submission is a wonderful grace. To be enabled sweetly to submit to the will of your heavenly Father is indeed very, very wonderful. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? To be enabled to endure God's chastening, to feel that a Father's hand prepares the cup, that he has prepared it in love and in mercy to you, is a wonderful blessing. You will say, Lord, I have richly deserved this. You fall down under it. You confess your sins which have brought his frown upon you. You are enabled to repent of those sins, and you feel a sweet reconciliation unto God. Some of the Lord's people have prayed that they might have that sweet and blessed assurance made over to them, and they have felt with holy joy that they are one of the Lord's sons or daughters. Now, wouldn't some of you rejoice today if you could go home feeling your times are in the hands of your heavenly Father? If you could feel you have that blessed union to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, that would be the answer to many of my prayers. Now I suppose you expect that you will one day get an answer in some comforting way. But that may not be, friends. You may be looking in completely the wrong direction for this blessing to come. The Lord may so chasten you, may so fill your cup with bitter things, may so seem to cross his hands in your experience that you really wonder where the scene will end. And in the midst of all this, he may drop a word into your soul and so make himself known to you as your God, your Father and your friend in these trials and difficulties, that you will sweetly perceive, as many of God's dear people have perceived, that this is the chastening hand of a kind, loving, gracious Father to a son or a daughter whom he dearly loves. Thus, in the midst of this bitter trial, you may receive an answer to your prayers. That is the afterwards. Haven't some of you had an afterwards? Hasn't the Lord spoken to us sometimes in the furnace, sometimes in the midst of losses and crosses? He did to Ephraim in Jeremiah 31. Poor Ephraim received the blessing of his life, and the Lord said, "Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still." He called Ephraim his son. Very wonderful. Poor, erring, backsliding, idolatrous Ephraim, yet laid low, laid in the valley of humiliation. And the dear Lord comes and calls him his son. Is Ephraim my dear son? Do you know a little of this pathway, my friends? It leads to heaven. I am sure it does. It leads to heaven. I am sure that bastards know nothing of this real sanctification. They know nothing of that which separates from the world and its effects. But this is the experience of God's dear people. And if you and I know a little of it, we are walking in the same path that Paul walked in, that David walked in, that Solomon walked in, the path that leads to heaven. But we do want the afterwards. We would, as the Lord helps us, submit to his will. If he should favour you with a little of his felt presence, though you may be still drinking the cup, you may not be out of darkness, but you see love inscribed upon these things. You will say, "Lord, let the furnace do its work. Let the trial do its work. Do not bring me forth from it till I am purged and refined and bettered by the cross." It is a mercy to know a little of this, to get a glimpse by faith that the Lord is in the trial, in the trouble, in the chastisement, and that he has sent it for your soul's good, for his honour and glory. I remember, as some of you may, the few occasions when we have been sweetly willing to bear the cross. We have felt willing to drink those bitter things, that they might be for the good of our souls. The psalmist, after his affliction, said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, for before I was afflicted, I went astray." Hezekiah, after the Lord had sanctified his affliction, said, "By these things men live." These are the testimonies of godly, gracious people. Some of you younger friends may feel, "Well, it has not been a very encouraging sermon to us, speaking about the Lord's chastening, the Lord's correction." But oh, may you remember this, that God has told us in his word, that if ye be without chastening, whereof all, that is all God's dear people, are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. I believe if the Lord blesses you with a gracious mind and shows you the needs be for these things, you will be enabled to submit to them. One said, 'Tis if need be, he reproves us, lest we settle on our knees. Yet he in the furnace loves us. 'Tis expressed in words like these, I am with thee, Israel, passing through the fire. Some of you who are younger in days to come may remember a few things we have given utterance to. And as the Lord may chasten you upon your beds or in your circumstances, he may come and sanctify these things to you, and you will say, my God, my Father. You will say, this is the blessing I have sought, but I did not expect it in this way. No. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £700, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day, and hopes to administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 232. Begone unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. 232.
Christ.